Good morning, Mark Rennie in for Pamela McCall. It's time for Legally Speaking with our regular legal expert, Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam and Pearson. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Let's get right to it. Laura Miller, it's a name many of our listeners likely know. She was the executive director for the Liberal Party of BC until recently when she stepped down, and here's why. She was working for the Premier of Ontario, Dalton McGuinty, my old buddy, and his deputy chief of staff. Now, Miller, along with another former aide in the McGuinty government, were charged with mischief and breach of trust. Now, this was in regard to the alleged deletion of some emails about a big scandal in Ontario with the Liberal government there canceling plans to build a couple of power plants. In Ontario, the government does not pay the legal fees of an employee charged with a criminal defense related to that worker doing his or her job. So Miller has taken to the internet and to something called crowdfunding, which is a techie way of saying she's soliciting donations to help pay her legal fees. She's raised about $60,000 so far, which is pretty good. Her goal is $100,000. Now, if Miller or any other government worker were similarly charged here in BC, well, that person's legal fees would be paid by you, the taxpayer. Now, it's happened in the past in the Bazzi-Virk BC rail scandal, and it's happened in other cases. The BC government pays the legal fees of its workers in these situations, and that means you pay for this. So the question is this: should the province of British Columbia pay the legal fees of government employees charged with criminal offenses related to their employment? Give us a call, 250-386-1161, star 1070, hands-free, or talk at cfax1070.com. Michael, what's your take on this?
Well, it depends very much on the circumstances of the case. In British Columbia, the concept is that if you're charged with something or sued, for example, in relation to something you're doing in the course of your government employment, you can be provided with the indemnity for the cost of hiring a lawyer to defend you. However, if you're found guilty or plead guilty, you're required by the rules now to pay that money back to the government. That's in part or in large part why the legislative BC Rail case was controversial. In that case, there was about $6 million spent on the defense of the accused, which the government advanced. And then the government agreed to forgive that amount of money as part of a arrangement where the accused eventually pled guilty.
Mr. Bassey and Mr. Virk.
Yeah, I should maybe be careful with part of the arrangement. Those things occurred at the same time. They agreed to waive that in the event of a guilty plea, and then the accused pled guilty. So that was controversial in that case.
Yeah.
Now, you can imagine easily a case where the indemnification would make perfect sense. Like, let's imagine you had somebody who worked for the ambulance service in British Columbia, and while racing to a call, they go through a red light and kill somebody and get charged with dangerous driving causing death or something of that sort. That would be, you'd say, well, look, clearly that activity would be in the course of their employment, right? They were racing to save somebody in their ambulance, right? So I think most people would reasonably say, well, gee, we should probably not leave that person out in the cold. We should make sure that they have a defense. The cases get trickier, though, when you have this issue of whether somebody's acting in the course of their employment. So in BC at the moment, there's a controversy going on that relates to what's been referred to as the ethnic outreach scandal. You may recall from the last election where there was an issue about the provincial government, Liberal government, using government employees, in part, to advance a political cause of getting one of their members reelected. That resulted in the government repaying, or the political, the BC Liberal Party repaying some $70,000 to cover the wages of the government employee that was working on partisan political activities when they should have been doing government work.
Right.
So one of the things going on now is that that person and one other is charged with offenses under the Election Act in British Columbia. And the Election Act has rules about how donations are to be given to a political party, how those should be recorded so we know who's donating how much money, and then tracking how much money is being spent on a campaign, because that's also limited. So there's an outstanding charge with respect to this government employee and one other employee of the provincial Liberal Party to do with that affair. And one of the things that the opposition's been spending time asking about is trying to find out whether that person is getting this indemnity from the provincial government. And the question there would be, look, you know, is that, if that's what's going on, and so far the government has refused to provide disclosure of that information, citing that it's confidential, legal advice, this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. One of the legitimate issues there would be, if somebody is an employee who's engaged in partisan political activities rather than doing their job, is that person working in the course of their employment? You know, you could imagine a clear case where somebody would not be in the course of their employment. I mean, let's imagine an ambulance attendant who, while on shift, goes out and murders their wife, allegedly. Right. You'd say, well, that's not in the course of their employment. It's not that you happen to have been on working hours when you're alleged to have committed some random crime.
Right.
The language is sort of in the course of your employment. So I think there is a legitimate question to be asked about, you know, is there funding for that staff member, and is that properly in the course of that person's employment? I think that is a reasonable question to be asked in that case, given that factual background.
Yeah, if that ambulance driver raced out to get an ice cream cone, as opposed to racing out to try to save somebody, and they unfortunately hit somebody, which would be horrible.
Yes.
Would that person be covered, I guess, is the question.
That's exactly the sort of question that would arise. And there has to be a judgment call. And there has to be caution around that, because we need to presume people are innocent, and it can be sometimes unclear at the beginning of a case. Well, what exactly was going on? Was the ambulance attendant racing to buy an ice cream cone, or was he racing to save somebody in another accident?
Sure.
And I think we generally need to err on the side of caution and say, well, we're going to let that trial take its course, and that will sort out whether a guy was going for ice cream or trying to save another victim somewhere.
Right.
But there are legitimate questions, particularly when these things get close to or political. Right, the ambulance attendant is easy in some senses, in that probably there's not going to be a political influence over that decision. But you know, the concern, at least with the BC Rail case, and the potential concern raised here with respect to the government employee that was working on partisan political activities when they were supposed to be doing the public's work, that's I think a legitimate question about, is that person, you know, is that in the course of your employment?
You know what makes it even trickier, I think, is the fact that if that's what, in fact, what was going on, and that person, that employee, was not doing actual government work, but was in fact doing political work. I'm not saying he was or she was or he, you know, I don't know. But the boss said do this. When the boss says to do something, you do it, right? It's not easy to say, no, I can't do that. That's partisan politics. Oh, yeah, well, you're out the door.
Yes, and it also depends on who the boss is, and that's one of the other things the regulations around this try to deal with. What happens when it's the boss who's accused of doing something wrong? Who's making the decision about whether their legal fees are going to be paid or not? One of the other things which arises here is on what basis should the legal fees be paid? And after that BC Rail scandal and the forgiving of the $6 million, the government commissioned a study to look into how we should sort of regularize this so it's a consistent policy and not sort of a one-off decision based on who the accused is, for example.
Right.
And one of the things there was an issue about at what rate should the lawyer be provided. And the review that was conducted suggested that perhaps that should be at legal aid rates, which are extremely low, and it can be very difficult, given how inadequate legal aid funding is, to hire experienced counsel to deal with a complex case. Anyways, the government, I guess when they looked at the issue of defending potentially themselves or other employees, concluded that legal aid rates were not adequate or appropriate, and they applied what I think is probably a fair and reasonable approach. The language they use is that the amount paid to counsel shall be what is reasonably required in order to ensure the employee receives a fair trial. Hard to argue with the concept of ensuring people have a fair trial. That should be our starting point everywhere.
Right,
but I think that speaks to whether...
It's pretty broad, though.
Yeah, it's broad, but that's that principle should be the same principle that would be applied when deciding what level of funding should be applied in legal aid for a poor person who can't hire a lawyer themselves. Surely we would want the same sort of representation provided to a poor person who's not a government employee enough to ensure they have a fair trial. It seems to me hard to justify vastly lower rates in the case of the poor than what is paid to somebody in the event that you're a government employee.
So is it because there's a vested interest here? Or
probably. I mean, if you were sitting down making rules about what kind of legal representation are you going to ensure for yourself or other employees of the government, suddenly that concept of a fair trial seems like a pretty meaty one and a good one. But it seems to me that same concept ought to be applied in the case of the poor people who are relying on legal aid for their defense. And maybe a solution to that would be ensure that those rates are the same, and that might cause a reflection upon whether what's provided to the poor is adequate.
Yeah. Let's take a couple calls here before we go to the break, because these folks have been waiting. Jack, you first. You were waiting the longest. Go ahead, Jack. You're on with Mark and Mike.
Okay. Here's what I think. In a lot of areas of government now, environment, forestry, hydro, it really seems like the people we employ have to betray us because that's what the government wants. They have no concern about what we want. They just do what big business wants. And so, I think we shouldn't pay their court costs. But on the other hand, if they want to keep their jobs, they have to do what Christy Clark tells them. So I'm sympathetic to the fact that we should pay their court costs.
Yeah, that was the point I brought up a moment ago. You're being told to do something, right? In the course of your employment. So yeah. Most people reasonably would follow the boss's order, right?
You have to. I mean, the problem is the whole process of government now has been corrupted, and we're no longer a democracy, and it's a disastrous situation.
All right. Thanks for your thoughts. Appreciate that, Jack. Don, you're on with Mark and Michael Mulligan.
Yeah, good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Hey, Michael. I kind of like your opinion on maybe taking the conversation down a tributary, so to speak, as far as the BC Rail. I think the concern that I have is that the guilty plea and the paying of the legal costs by the taxpayer circumvents the exposing of any collateral sort of action, the government or involvement, that they had a hand in this. So if we accept that, Michael, isn't it arguably a case where the government took the law into their own hands or basically took the position they are above the law? And I'm not saying they aren't. I'm just unaware. Is the government above the law? Because taxpayers, I think, would assume that they aren't, such as the police. There's a number of police investigations done by, cherry pick of the people that are looking into, alleged police activities that are inappropriate. But they tend to form these, as I call them, kangaroo courts, where the certainty of the outcome is a given. But getting back to what the taxpayers deserve, the BC Rail case exposed that they got shortchanged. They weren't privy to the actual involvement, if any, by the government.
$6 million is not chump change.
No, and there were legitimate questions raised at the time about the timing of that decision, because the starting point is that if a person pleads guilty or is found guilty, they would then be responsible for repaying the money that they were lent for their defense. The concept would be that if you're in the course of your employment, you're charged with an offense, you go to trial and you're acquitted, the starting point would be, well, that's fine. We're not going to demand a repayment in that circumstance. But if you're found guilty of a crime, the presumption is that you would have to repay it. And in that case, there was the decision to agree to not seek repayment of the $6 million occurred shortly before there was evidence that might have been called that was potentially embarrassing to the government. So that's why there were questions raised about that decision and its timing and who made that decision. And that's why the government has now developed this policy, which is supposed to regularize these things. So it should be a little bit more transparent, trying to avoid the political influence. And that is a worry, right? I mean, it's easy in the case of the ambulance attendant. Probably no one has a political stake in that. And probably the deputy minister, whoever is making the call about whether this is going to occur in a particular case, isn't going to have any reason to think there'd be any political outcome one way or the other. Whether you make the decision that it wasn't in the course of employment, you conclude that it's clear the guy was charged with murdering his wife while simply driving an ambulance, so that's not going to get covered. But it gets much muddier the closer you get to the top and the closer you get to people who have some political connection. And that's why there are legitimate questions asked about, you know, for example, the individual who was, I think the provincial Liberal Party accepted, was doing partisan political work while they were being paid by the taxpayer. Those are the sort of cases where there does need to be careful scrutiny about these decisions, and should we be paying for that if that's what's going on? There's been efforts made to try and uncover that by freedom of information requests and filings in the legislature, this sort of thing, but that hasn't been made clear. And I think those are legitimate questions that I think should be answered so we can assess, you know, is this policy being complied with, and are decisions being made without consideration for political factors.
Let's take our break there. We are with Michael Mulligan. It is Legally Speaking. Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam and Pearson. We'll take our break and come back, and we will conclude our conversation on this.
Call us 250-386-1161 or on your cell at Star 1070. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070. Rain? Sun? Snow? We get it right with an accurate forecast. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Lease the all-new 2016 Lexus RX for $699 per month at 3.9% on a 39-month lease with a down payment of $5,580 and all-wheel drive credit of $1,500 from Lexus. See newspaper or visit Jim Pattison Lexus Victoria for details. Finlayson at Burnside.
Your Victoria Royals battle the Vancouver Giants Saturday night at 7:05 at the Savant Foods Memorial Center. It's Guides and Scouts Night. Join the Royals in celebrating these troops.
Good times, great hockey.
Game 2 is Sunday afternoon at 2:05. Get your tickets at victoriaroyals.com. And get the Alibaba friends and family deal for the January 29th game against Lethbridge. The deal includes 4 tickets, 4 hats, and 4 slices of pizza for just $49. Limited quantities available. The Victoria Royals, true blue.
This winter, take a break from the cold. With a trial stay at an Amica retirement community, you can enjoy the all-inclusive lifestyle and the company of new friends. Experience the comfort and convenience of our first-class dining and housekeeping services, along with our extensive wellness and vitality programs. Visit amica.ca to inquire about a trial stay at a community near you. Come in from the cold and feel the warmth of Amica.
Picking the sound effects for Sleep Country's year-end clearance sale commercial is a huge responsibility. People should know this sale is big and it won't last long. Like, do these bells properly express that Sleep Country has mattresses from Sealy, Serta, Simmons, and down at mind-blowing clear-out prices? Do fireworks say you better get in soon for the best selection of floor models and demos? Nothing says Sleep Country's year-end clearance is on like a 76-piece marching band, right? All together now. Nailed it!
Sleep Country Canada.
Daddy!
Yeah, sweetie?
Me and Alice want to show you our dance show.
Let's do it. You look great. Well, that's really great, girls.
Wait! We're not done!
More? This is... I love dance.
All 12-millimeter laminate flooring is on sale at Rona and Rona Home and Garden. From Thursday the 21st to Wednesday the 27th, buy one box in stock and get 50% off the second one. Rona. Good plan. Details at rona.ca.
Why should you care about wastewater treatment? Because we all contribute to what goes down the drain and into our environment. Now is the time to get informed and join the core area conversation on wastewater treatment and resource recovery and provide input, both online and face-to-face, about where to build treatment facilities, what technology is used, what the cost will be, and how we can make use of the water and energy produced. For the most up-to-date info on how you can be involved in the wastewater conversation, visit crd.bc.ca/wastewater.
Lease the all-new 2016 Lexus RX for $699 per month at 3.9% on a 39-month lease with a down payment of $5,580 and all-wheel drive credit of $1,500 from Lexus. See newspaper or visit Jim Pattison Lexus Victoria for details. Finlayson at Burnside.
If you're talking about it, they're on it. Saturday Morning Live with Mark Brenne at 6:30 on CFAX 1070.
Good morning. Mark Brenne in for Pamela McCall. It's Legally Speaking. So Michael Mulligan from Mulligan, Tam and Pearson is in. Ryan writes in. He says, good morning. I wondered back why the government paid the legal bills of Premier Glenn Clark when he was sued for libel. Bob Ward, a marine engineer, was in the best interests of BC taxpayers, offering very constructive and correct criticism of the fast ferry builds. Glenn Clark dismissed his critique by saying Ward was just a disgruntled bidder, hardly in the normal carrying out of the duties of the premier, says Ryan. So this does happen where somebody high up in government does something, is charged, and then here in this province, their legal bills are paid for.
Yes. Now, of course, only subject to the outcome of the case. It's really lending the people money. But those are the tough cases, right, when it's the sort of the political people or the people at the top of the pyramid, right?
Right.
It's easier time if it's the police officer charged with using too much force in the arrest. You probably say, well, look, that's pretty clearly in the course of the person's employment, and it wouldn't be fair or reasonable to ask, put each police officer in the position that they're going to lose their home paying for their legal defense.
Yeah. Who's going to be a cop at that point?
Right. Another interesting thing to consider is in a civil case, if you sue somebody, let's say you sue your neighbor for something unsuccessfully, just without merit, you don't prove it. The presumption is that you'd be responsible for paying a portion of their legal costs. Now, that principle doesn't apply in criminal cases. If the Crown charges you, if you get charged with something and you go to trial and the judge finds you to be not guilty, you may have expended a great deal of money establishing your innocence, but that's the end of it. You're just out that money. I suppose another sort of broader approach would be to consider whether it would be appropriate to permit costs to be awarded in the event that you were charged with a crime that ultimately you're acquitted of. Because at the moment, that doesn't happen, except in very exceptional cases if you were charged for some malicious purpose.
Right. Yeah. Let's bring Larry into the conversation. Larry, good morning. You're speaking with Michael and Mark.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Michael, I often wonder when I see these things, like we go back a little bit in time, we had the accident there with the sinking of Queen of the North Ferry, and just how much all the legal was on all that, and who pays for the people that were at the controls that were responsible or whatever, their responsibility here, and the ongoing things like the loss of a couple of people's lives or something, their cars and everything sitting on the bottom of the ocean with a $235 million ferry. Mm. There's a lot of governmental legal payout there. Well, who's responsible for all that stuff, and who ends up paying, and what little sentences there is and all that stuff. And then there's probably ongoing, on and on and on it goes. Like, there's an awful lot of paid out legal money that explain all this stuff. It goes on forever.
It does. Thanks for your call, sir.
I mean, each category of individual would be different, right? Whether somebody's a union employee, whether you're a police officer working for a municipality, whether you're an excluded government employee or a political appointment, there'd be slightly different rules for each of those different categories. But I think the my take on all of this is that we do need to ensure that people receive fair trials. That's an appropriate principle. As well, you shouldn't have a circumstance where if somebody's legitimately working in the course of their employment, they're going to lose their house each time they're sued for something.
Yeah.
But we need transparency, and we need to make sure that these decisions are made in a transparent and fair way, and they're not influenced by, for example, political considerations.
Got about 20 seconds left, but I do want to get in this question from Garth. Garth writes a question for you, Michael. Would a salaried employee who signs out of the office to work on any political or personal work still doing so while being paid? Okay, hold on. Would a salaried employee who signs out of the office to work on any political or personal work still doing so while being paid? Would he be a person, would that person be covered, I guess, is what the question
is. Sure. The test is whether the person is acting in the course of their employment. That's the basic principle for determining whether you'd be eligible for indemnity or at least being loaned the money to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you took time off to go work on a political campaign, I think it's pretty clear, no, you're not working in the course of your employment.
Right.
The trickier cases come when things are closer to the line, right? It's clear if the ambulance attendant has an accident racing to the scene while they're in the course of their employment, it becomes much muddier when you have other subtleties of human affairs going on. What about the ambulance attendant rushing home to change their clothes before they go for dinner? Is that caught? They're in an ambulance. Maybe they're still on shift, but those are the harder cases.
Okay. Thanks for doing this morning.
Thank you.
We'll see you again next week.
Sounds great. Thank
you. Michael Mulligan.